Now let's come back to this meeting and this talk. I said at the beginning that it would have been quite easy to give a conventional account of Nirvana. It's this, it isn't that, and so on. But suppose that had been done, then what would have happened? What would have happened is that you would have accepted or rejected this aspect of Nirvana or that aspect of Nirvana in accordance with your own largely unconscious needs. Supposing you feel an unconscious need for happiness, well, had I said that, well, Nirvana is the supreme bliss, you would have thought, well, that's just what I want. You would have latched onto that and you would have settled down in that without really realizing what you were doing. If, on the other hand, you're rather sensitive to your lack of knowledge and lack of understanding, and had I said that, well, Nirvana is a state of complete illumination, well, again, half consciously, you would have latched onto that. And in the same way, if you were rather oppressed or overpowered by a sense of your own life being constricted or restricted, not having any freedom, not being able to move about as you want, being tied down to a job or a family, and so on. But had I mentioned that Nirvana is freedom, emancipation, you would have thought, well, that's what I want. So in this way, there would have been a half-conscious, a semi-conscious setting up of goals, but without really trying to understand why you were unhappy, or why you were ignorant, or why you were conditioned, why you were tied down. Nirvana would have just been used as a sort of semi-conscious stopgap. And this would not, of course, have been very helpful. So I'd like, therefore, before we come to the end of today's talk, I'd like to suggest a question for you to ask yourself. Now here you all are this afternoon. You could have been somewhere else. At least you could have been at home, in front of the television set, or wherever you might have been if you hadn't been here, or you could have been out, not for a walk perhaps this afternoon, but visiting friends. But you're not. You're here, at the Hampstead Buddhist Vihara. So presumably, since you are here, and since most of you knew that the topic of today's talk was going to be Nirvana, it can be assumed that you're all interested, however slightly, in hearing about Nirvana, about what you almost recognize as the goal of Buddhism. Now the question for you to ask yourselves is this: why have I come? Am I really interested in this subject? Have I got a sort of burning desire to know what Nirvana is? It may be that one has come simply because one comes every Sunday. One's heard all about the five aggregates, one's heard all about the 12 Nidanas, one has heard all about the higher and lower evolution. So one might just as well hear something about Nirvana, just for the sake of completeness. It may be that you come to oblige a friend, someone happened to be with you and you said, well, going along to the Vihara, why not come with me? So you didn't like to refuse, you thought, oh well, it's only an hour or so, never mind, it's not very far, I can go to the pictures afterwards, let's go along. It may be for this reason. It may again be just out of curiosity, intellectual or otherwise. One might have thought, well, Nirvana, I wonder what you'll have to say about that. It's rather a tough sort of nut to crack, and let's see. But even so, even if one gives all these answers, further questions can still be put. Supposing one does come every Sunday, but why? After all, there must be some reason. Some people have come every Sunday for a month, some every Sunday for 3 months, a few every Sunday, even for a year, and more, with very few days off in between. So what's the real reason for of this recurrent pattern of activity, this sort of urge to come to the Vihara every Sunday afternoon. Or suppose we have come just to oblige a friend, but why do we want to oblige him or her? What's the reason for that? Or suppose we're just curious about Nirvana. Well, why are we curious about it? What's the reason for our curiosity? What's underneath it all? So in this way we can go deeper and deeper and deeper. Not going so much metaphysically, but psychologically. And in this way, by following this sort of procedure, we can learn quite a lot. Not so much about Buddhism in the purely objective historical sense, but about ourselves and our motives. So if we do this, if we pursue this line of questioning, even though it might sound a little unconventional or unorthodox, we may very likely get much more out of it, even with regard to Nirvana, than we would have got out of a formal lecture of the conventional type about Nirvana as the goal of Buddhism. And if we pursue this particular quest, this particular line, asking ourselves, trying to penetrate, trying to plumb, as it were, the depths of our own mind all the time, then we may even get a little nearer to the goal of Nirvana itself. Sometimes it happens that we have to decide to make a great change. We're looking out all the time, even out at Nirvana, thinking of it in ontological terms. But sooner or later the day comes when we have to reverse our attitude, when we have to start looking within and examining our own motives, the motives even of our own curiosity with regard to this subject of Nirvana. In other words, to go not ontologically but psychologically. And this is much more likely to bring us nearer to awareness and through awareness to Nirvana than any amount of purely metaphysical or psychological disquisition. It may also, we may say, prepare the ground a little and perhaps make us more ready, more prepared to hear next week something about an even more profound and important topic than Nirvana itself, and that, as you'll be hearing in the course of a few minutes, will be the mystery of the void.